Episode 216, October 26th, 2015.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is the Rob and Joe Show.
The Dave Chappelle and Louis C.K. of Fire Hall Comedy.
The Rob and Joe Show.
This is the racist Rob and racist Joe Show.
Some of their best friends are black.
The Rob and Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to the Rob and Joe Show.
Come on, everybody, let's get to the brainstorming.
I worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe Show.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Now on with the countdown.
With a combined 73 firings, if you count marriages in the Baltimore Comedy Factory, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Exciting show tonight because there's no Joe Robinson. Yes. All right. Wow. Finally, a break from that asshole. Filling in for Joe tonight is a friend of the show, a great local comedian, a part of our murder mystery show. He's been mentioned many times. Tommy Cimbazzo. Clap for Tommy Cimbazzo.
Yay. Hey, guys. Really, really honored to be here.
It is an honor. We thought of 37 people, and you got back to us.
Welcome
first.
To the worst episode of the Rob and Joe Show.
Yes. Joe is trying to keep his Ravens curse alive. Tommy also is on the Ravens post game with Joe and myself.
Mm-hmm. And the great Cimbazzo.
The great Cimbazzo, yes. And because of it's a night game, they're playing Monday night, there is no post game because we're not going to be on that late. But Joe is at Union Jack's in Annapolis, Maryland, having a pre-game event where he's just standing there. And then every hour or so, he calls into 98 Rock and says, yep, their fans are here. They're wearing jerseys. They're excited. And they pay him for that. And so he's there tonight. We're going to call him at some point during the show, though, and ask him how shitty a gig that is. Because it sounds like, what would you say? Like, nothing funny is probably happening or interesting, right? They're just fans.
Yeah, like what if they're losing? What if they're losing horribly? You know, it's not gonna, you know, you just hear boos in the background and people weeping.
Yeah, I don't even know if he's supposed to be. I think he's just calling before the game. So there's nothing even to update. Like once the game starts, he's done. But he has to hang out, which is weird. He has to stay there till 9:30. Like no one wants to see Joe Robinson. No one's there like, oh, Joe Flacco. No, Joe Robinson. Let's go talk to him.
Sounds like torture.
It does. But again, they are paying him. But welcome to the show. A lot to talk about tonight. Robbie is about to leave the country. We're going to talk, get to know Tommy a little bit better. We're going to update our murder mystery. The big newly dead game that took place yesterday at McGoobie's, a huge success. We're going to talk Supergirl, Mushrooms, the Americast, and a little bit of Chris Restivo. We know you've been clamoring. But first up, Tommy, just tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce the world to you.
I'm Tommy Cimbazzo. I was raised on doing stage stuff. I did 8 years improv and then switched. This is like my eighth year doing stand-up comedy. And I build things, all sorts of things. Steampunk things. I built a dragon. I built three suits of armor. Learning the guitar. All sorts of stuff.
Yeah, you're into a lot of things. And you're good at a lot of things that I have zero ability at. And I'm also, you've been mentioned several times on the show. Originally, I believe you were first brought up as the guy that I said I couldn't follow. If you're a longtime listener of the
show, we have very similar styles.
Yes, and sometimes when I'd follow you, that would it would mesh for me, and then I would struggle. There's one prime example, and I told this on the show probably 3 years ago now. Do you remember the name of that club out on the water there by up north of Baltimore?
Oh, I know what. No.
You know what I'm talking about. The Laugh.
I know the one you're talking about. It was up. Yeah. See, yeah.
Yeah. So
the Susky?
Yes, the Susky yes. River Lounge. That's exactly what it was. And you had a good set. You'd crushed, if I remember correctly. It wasn't a huge crowd, but you'd done very well. And then I went up and I mentioned having a black girlfriend, which I do. And I hear someone booing in the background, in the back, and I can't see because of the lights. So I assume it's just a white person booing because I'm thinking this is a redneck vibe, that it's a racist, coming from a racist place. So I make that comment, and then the white guy says, no, it was this black guy. And then I'm like, oh, now you're going to blame the black guy. Well, it turns out it was the black guy. But anyway, I've angered the white people because I didn't believe them, and the black people already didn't like me. I end up having the worst set ever. I started to tell jokes. They're making cricket sounds. I literally just yell, come on stage. I lose it. You F this, you motherfucker. You don't have the balls to do shit. And then I have like 30 more minutes, right? Clearly the worst set of my life. That was with Tommy Sabazo. Then the next time I'm with you, we were at
we were in Millersville.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there was that group in the front row that it was the guy's 21st birthday. And it was mm-hmm. the dorkies. His parents were there. He wasn't even drinking. It was lame. And you just made fun of it like you should have. But then when I tried to make fun of it, it's like you'd already done enough so that I was just a dick to make fun of this guy. So that became the thing.
Can I mention another interesting Tommy Sabazo fact?
You can.
2 years ago when you and I were chosen to be judges for the Baltimore Comedy Competition. Yes,
where Joe wore flip-flops on stage.
Yes, exactly. That's the one. You and I were part of Tommy winning that competition because we were judges in that competition. This year, we weren't judges, so it was probably somebody inferior to Tommy.
Clearly, yes, yes.
It was me. I was the judge.
You were a judge.
Yes. Yeah, it was me, Kirk McEwen, and Mike Quinlan.
Oh, say no more.
Say no more. not that you wouldn't have won otherwise. It's not like we cheated for you. Clearly, we're deserving. But yeah, I think that sums up all we need to know about you. But one thing I want to know is you've been with the same woman, I think, since I met you.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to remember you guys getting engaged like 5 years ago.
Yeah, we're coming up on our 5-year engagement anniversary.
How is that allowed to happen?
We got engaged, and we're not big religious people. We right. want to have just a big party, like a bull and oyster roast, right? But we don't have the money for that. So every year we're like, well, we don't have the money this year. We don't have the money this year. We don't have the money this year. And it just got to a thing where we don't need that piece of paper. She's practically my wife. I wish she was my wife because fiance is hard to spell.
Well, I mean, not that I want to ruin your gig here, but couldn't you just have the party? Like more people at a wedding, they give a gift. Why don't they just chip in towards the party and that be the wedding?
So you say I should charge admission to my wedding?
Yeah. I mean, rather than register. Yeah. Well, no, we all bring something and we chip in $40. Yeah. But we all chip in somehow. I mean, I'd rather put money towards a good party than to buy you a stupid toaster.
That's the most ghetto thing I've ever heard. Because I want my toaster too. I don't have a toaster. I want a toaster. You. I want a party.
So you want both.
No, that and we're just, you know, it's very hard to plan a wedding. Like there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. And we're very lazy people.
I think. Now, is this you talking? Because I feel like that it's suddenly you.
It's not like she's convincing me not to get married.
I feel like she wants to get married, and she's just being nice.
Well, every time she gets drunk, she'll tell me like, oh, we're getting married. We're getting married next year.
When she's drunk. Alcohol, then, but, the truth serum?
Yeah, but that goes away when she sobers up, so.
Well, maybe she starts drinking more. It's because she's upset about the lack of you taking the next step. I feel like I'm hurting your relationship. That wasn't the point of you being on. But
it's all right. She doesn't listen.
Okay, so. Of course. We only have 4 female listeners. Why would she be one of them?
I'll tell her it didn't. Yeah, they didn't record.
Well, good luck keeping that. I love her. She's you're a great couple.
Well, why haven't you went to Wanda? I mean, there isn't
Tommy, nobody cares about that.
Was there a ring?
Question? Good question, Tommy.
Nobody cares about that, Tommy. That's not interesting. I am, you know, this could be the season. This Christmas is coming up. You never know.
You're going to propose for Christmas? Is that the only gift you're going
to
get her?
Well, I think you save money that way. You don't have to double up on gifts.
I proposed on Labor Day week at a drive-in.
Did you have a ring?
I did, and I tied a piece of string.
You make the ring? You make things. You don't.
No, I didn't. I tied a piece of thread to the ring, put it at the bottom of a bucket of popcorn, right next to my dick where the hole was cut in, and I had her – and I handed her the box, the thing of popcorn. I was like, ooh, get that hair out of there. And she pulled on it, and it was the ring. And I was like, will you marry me? And she was like, oh, my God. She started freaking out. And I was like, well, now shut up. I'm trying to watch Ponyo.
See, this isn't a joke, right? This is real.
No, this is how it happened. Yeah.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, I think you now know Tommy Tsimbazo. I think we've done a good job introducing you to the world. You were a big hit yesterday at the Murder Mystery. This is the second time we've done this particular production. It's called The Newly Dead Game. We did it October 2nd, I believe, was the date at the Arlington Draft House, which went well, but we wanted to add some things, some tweak some things. And you are in a love affair, a gay couple, with one Justin Schlegel. Did you practice for that role? Did you have to get in character? What did you do to fall in love with Justin?
When we were first talking, Justin and I were talking about it, he was like, let's lean in hard, you know, go super gay. But then after, you guys apparently don't realize that Arlington is a very liberal place, and yes, you can go too gay at Arlington. So then you suggested to just do my own voice. So then I was like, well, but I settled in on that gay guy from Fashion, that Project Runway, the one like, oh, what's Anandra doing? Like that's.
Yes, I thought I liked your choice. Do the voice. Do a little more of it.
Oh, yes. Well, we met in Cabo, you know, yes, something like that. And then I was actually – a table of lesbians asked me if I was actually gay, like in real life. And to me, that means I didn't do a stereotype and that I did the character justice. Then
so you
was
feel
very
like,
offended that those lesbians thought that I was gay.
do you feel like – so the lesbians, that's a bigger stamp of approval than just women, just straight women?
If you're gay, you have gaydar. So if I was hitting pings on their gaydar, that's pretty good, right?
So does that make you feel less manly or less straight or more just feel better about your acting ability?
To be totally honest, I'm just blaming it on my acting so I don't have to think about the alternative.
No, I think that's good that they complimented you on your acting. Robbie, you were at the show. Did Tommy come across effectively gay?
Yes. I thought that it totally worked. Now, I wasn't at the first show, so I didn't see the more over-the-top version of this.
Right.
But I have to say, nobody, God bless Justin, but nobody made me laugh louder than Tommy when he was making the commentary on the video. That had me laughing hysterically.
Yeah, what happens in this is that the idea is this is a game show, and that at some point during this, we play the submission video of this couple that got them on the show. And what it is, it's a series of montage of pictures to Up Where We Belong by Joe Cocker. And it's Justin and Tommy. And it's various hilarious pictures that Robbie has photoshopped. And we did this version with Eric Woodworth in Tommy's role in Arlington. And we just played the video straight. But this time we had the idea that to have sort of a running commentary. So Tommy was doing commentary while this video was playing and all these funny pictures with his funny comments. It was kind of it probably was the highlight of the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Although
it's been an hour. Right.
No, you did. You put a lot of work into the show.
Robbie's Photoshop skills on that were amazing. There were shots where I'm like, that I look incredible. He photoshopped the hell out of me.
Yeah, it was when the song choice was perfect. I mean, everything, it killed. And then if you saw the first show, we added an opening act like you would see at a game show or some sort of TV show. You'd have an opening, a warm-up act. So we had that role, Eric Woodworth sang this funny song parody thing. And then we added another couple. We tweaked a few things. We made it a little bit better in a lot of places, which I think took the show from a good to a great show. But the feedback has been fantastic. I mean, that I think that was probably the first show at Magoobies. We had the most people, but I think that was the best the best show we've ever done.
The first show at Magoobies, I think, also went more smoothly, but because this one has a lot more moving parts, but this one was clearly funnier.
Yeah, this one has those more sound, more complicated sound cues. It's easier to screw it up, but yeah, I mean, it was a hit, and we're going to be doing this very same show in Montgomery County on February 13th, sort of a Valentine's Day theme, at AMP by Strathmore. Strathmore, it's called? It's in Bethesda. It's a super cool music venue. That'll be February 13th. We're already working right now on our holiday one. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery. We're doing that December 9th and at Arlington Draft House, and December 26th at Magoobies. We'll, of course, be talking more about that when it gets closer. Yeah, I thought... Oh, wait, your girlfriend was there, Robbie. You mentioned that she had some comments.
Yeah, she when we left, she goes, I think Rob's gained some weight.
Well, I am wearing that blaze. I do look fatter in that outfit,
though. No, she actually said she saw you before you put the jacket on and thought you looked heavier. And then she said you looked thinner when you put the jacket on.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, don't let him feel good about himself, Robbie. Make sure you tell him she saw him naked.
And she made me swear not to tell you, but I said, no, I have to tell
him. I have gained some weight, but I do feel like I look fatter in that jacket than I do just in my regular clothes.
But she's
saying otherwise, so. Did she enjoy the show, or that was her only comment? Rob looks fat.
No, she really thought it was funny. Her one comment was, why were you laughing so hard at that video? You made it. I said, I wasn't laughing at my video. I was laughing at Tommy.
Yeah. No, it was awesome. I mean, we talk about it a lot. Maybe you guys get tired of it. But we are super proud of it. We think it's an awesome product, so we're going to brag about it a little bit from time to time.
Well, I think it's a credit to the cast. The cast is made up of a lot of super funny people and super talented people. I mean, I think Joe was right when he went to that murder mystery and was like, we could do it better. And, you know, we're not actors trying to be funny. We're funny people acting.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not. It's totally different than this over-the-top acting, the attempts at acting that you might see at some dinner theater. It's a really funny show. It's silly, but it's funny, and it's – I don't know. We're hoping to do one a month. That's our goal, to get four or five different venues. Right now we have two, a third. We have a date. So if we can get some regular venues, you know, four or five, and have every month, that's sort of the goal. So
you can count on Eric Woodworth showing up in his underwear for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, Eric Woodworth is a guy who's he's fatter than me. Maybe not to Robbie's girlfriend, but he's kind of a portly fella. But he has no problem wearing almost nothing on stage. And
yeah, his physicality. He's a super funny physical comic.
Yeah, he's crushing with anything physical. So that's an asset. Hey, Supergirl starts tonight. I'm not like a comic book nerd by any means, having never read a comic book in my life. But Tommy, I'm guessing that this is interesting you.
Oh yeah, I actually bootlegged the first two episodes back in July or January, way earlier in the year. So I'm hoping 2 weeks from now to catch up on what's going on. But
you already seen two episodes. Give us your review.
You don't really see Superman other than like little wisps. It takes place in a world where there is Superman, but he kind of just dumped off his cousin on some other family.
And it is the Superman that we now, the Superman in Man of Steel. It's that guy.
Yes.
Okay. So it takes place in that world.
Yeah. And Jimmy Olsen's black in this, which is cool. I mean, it doesn't matter what color Jimmy Olsen is.
Why is that cool?
I don't know, because it doesn't matter.
I know. That makes it not cool. It just makes it whatever.
He's handsome. He's a handsome black man.
I have to go off on an aside, because what did you think of them making Johnny Storm black in the last Fantastic Four?
I would have had a bigger problem with it if that movie wasn't a huge piece of shit. Okay. Like, if it was a better movie, then I could have been like, well, they didn't need to change this, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I totally get it that there aren't many black superheroes, no black role models and stuff. And now that there's the black Captain America, people are getting mad about what he's fighting for. So,
yeah, I don't understand how.
But did you see that they asked Jeb Bush they asked him what is he who his favorite superhero was, and he said he was like, I don't know, I was at the gym and saw a commercial for that Supergirl show. She looks pretty hot, and he's in hot water because of that.
Well, first of all, it's a stupid question.
If he had added for a white woman at the end of it.
what would be the best answer for a politician? Because if you say Batman,
Captain America.
Okay, Captain America.
If you say Batman, you're a pro police brutality.
And you're just some rich guy that thinks that he can just troll everything.
You're pro capitalism, pro police brutality.
What's wrong with Superman? You think you're too highly of yourself?
I think Superman, you're too Superman is a great white hero. So there would be problems there with. I think the safest answer nowadays would be the Black Captain America.
My favorite superhero is the Black Captain America.
Oh yeah.
He'll vote for Hillary.
He has to say Captain America, the black one.
Yeah. What about Spider-Man? That doesn't work?
I think Spider-Man is a safe answer. I don't think you have a political stance if you say Spider-Man. As a matter of fact, I think Spider-Man would be the more everyday, you know, blue-collar superhero.
Okay. What about Wonder Woman?
Then you're a feminist.
What about the Hulk?
You're pro-GMOs.
Yeah, you want someone that has a temper. Yeah.
No.
What about Iron Man?
Iron Man, again, is a one percenter. You got to be careful of those billionaire superheroes.
And Thor, too religious?
Thor, yeah. Then you're all about religion, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
If I can jump in here, Rob, please. Upcoming in the Marvel list, apparently they are going to be putting out a Black Panther movie.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
Black Panther is the king. He's the king of a country in Africa called Wakanda. And Wakanda many years ago was hit by this meteorite that was made up of vibranium, the same thing that Captain America's shield was made of. And so they have all this advanced technology in Wakanda, the level of like what Atlantis supposedly had kind of thing. I don't need to tell you about Atlantis.
We only have an hour show.
Okay. But Black Panther, he – took upon the when his father died, he took upon the mantle of the Black Panther. So he wears like a black cat suit. He has vibranium blades, and I think he can turn into a panther.
He can turn into an actual panther.
Yeah.
Well, he sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Who's gonna play this guy?
Urkel. I have no idea.
Is it gonna be Idris Elba? Who's it gonna be?
Daniel Day-Lewis.
He'll crush it. Let's take a break. We'll come right back. More superhero talk with Tommy Cimbazzo, Robin Joseph.
Hi, this is Justin from the Justin Scott and Spiegel Morning Show, and I'm here to tell you about the most hysterical, amazing, and festive show I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. It's called A Merry Murder Mystery, another original, hilarious, interactive comedy whodunit from the guys who brought you The Last Laugh and The Newly Dead Game. I'll have a starring role, and if you're very, very lucky, you might play a part too. You might even be the murderer. There's going to be a limited number of performances, so don't miss it.
And now back to you, Rob and Tom.
Hey, that was Tim Moran. It was happy birthday to Tim this past Sunday, by the way. Our former show announcer, who we're now friends with again.
But, good.
Yeah, it's all working out. Tim is he's one of these Redskins fans that is never happy. A few weeks ago, the Redskins, they came back to beat the Eagles. They scored with about 20 seconds to go. And a thrilling victory. And he had been texting me throughout the day because they looked like they were about to blow it. And we were sort of bitching about the team. And then he posts on Facebook, we won, but boy, we're still so horrible. We're going to get killed next week. All right. I mean, they won. Sort of a downer post after a thrilling victory. Then this past yesterday, Sunday, they had their biggest comeback in team history. Win similar fashion, last second touchdown. And he texts to all of us, going to get crushed next week. It's New England 70-10. Team is so bad. It's like, well, if you can't enjoy those wins, I mean, what are you doing? Why are you even bothering? But that's just the plight of the Redskins fan. Even when you win, there's still – you can't ever get happy because you know that the inevitable doom is following. Now, I've wondered this with people like you, Tommy, that are super into sci-fi stuff, movies, mm-hmm. Star Wars, comic books. Like, is there an equivalent to like a sports fan's team losing the Super Bowl or having a bad season?
I would only equate it to all the Quidditch scenes in the Harry Potter movies.
No, I mean in the sense that, like, Star Wars, if Star Wars is coming out in December, if it's bad, is that going to be like a diehard Ravens fan losing the Super Bowl?
Look, even if the new Star Wars movie is bad, people are still – I mean, it already – what did it – it made like $3 billion in pre-sales or something, like, well, something crazy.
Look, it's going to make money. It's going to be successful. But are you going to be like hurt if they don't – if they do a poor job?
No, it doesn't. If you're a Star Wars fan, you're a Star Wars fan. The best thing about Star Wars is that even if all the other movies suck, you still have the middle three, and that's what you can show your kids.
Right.
I don't really understand the question.
No, I mean, like, I know, like, Jimmy Merritt, he's a super nerd.
Yeah.
Comic, mm-hmm. friend of ours. He's posting on Facebook, like, every few days, like, 54 days till Star Wars, 51. Mm-hmm. And he's anticipating that in a way that I would anticipate the beginning of football season.
Okay.
And in both scenarios, neither one of us has any control of whether the product is good. So we're putting some level of happiness is based on a sports team or a director and a movie producer and a company to be able to make some product.
I guess the difference between our products, which are we have no control over and it's pre-made, is that – it is very hard for one of those products to live it up to the hype that we give it. With right. a football team, if they win, it's a win, right? A win is good. We did good. Yeah. I mean, if it's a blowout, yes. I mean, oh, man, we won that one really good. You know, it's the same. We have no control. I would just say it's the amount of hype that we give it. Like, because what if Star Wars – they just start and it's just it ba-da-da-da, and the scroll comes by and it fades into just J.J. Abrams farting into a camera for 2 hours, right? People are going to be like, still better than episode one.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But is it like let's say, for example, you're a Redskins fan, you put all your faith in RG3 and then he turned into a bus, basically. Would that be similar to, like, let's say – you know, Captain America, before the movies came out, your favorite superhero, your favorite comic book. And then they cast some loser and he sucked.
Oh, like it, movie sucked. If I was a big Human Torch fan and then they cast, or like, let's say I'm a huge Batman fan and they cast Ben Affleck.
There you go. Yes, there you go. I would feel like you would be like, you'd be in a bad mood. I mean, it's not going to control your life. But it would be in the same way a sports team has a high draft pick and you're like, you buy his jersey and then you realize that he sucks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, imagine all those people that have Kyle Bowler jerseys.
Are you preparing for Star Wars? Are you doing anything to prepare? Because I'm sure you're going to be there.
Well, my big thing, and I even do talk about this in my act, is I love to go see all the new I go see all the movies that I want to see on mushrooms. And I am waiting for Star Wars so I can see that on mushrooms.
Now,
it's going to be the way God intended.
So that'll be your first way of seeing it. You won't see it just straight. And then
no, I skip the first week. Because it's going to be too crowded, and I talk about it in one of my bits where I once went the first time I went opening day to a Star Trek film, and I freaked out in the movie theater because it was packed and there was too many people and things were exploding. I ended up holding a random black guy's hand just to calm me down.
Did you really do this?
Yes, I did this, and then later that day I pissed my pants in a Royal Farm.
And that was with or without the mushrooms?
That was mushrooms, and then when my fiance picked me up, she took me out for shots. So I was obliterated.
So are you saying that the mushrooms work better when there's not a crowd of people? Is it too much?
When you don't have people staring at you because you're rocking back and forth in your seat and woo, just wooing at car chase scenes and stuff.
Well, yeah, you're going to have to wait like 2 months then to see Star Wars. It's going to be packed forever.
Nah, we'll go like a Wednesday morning or something, like take off work, And you what you do, you go to that Towson Theater that has the big comfy chairs.
Yeah.
And then
sounds nice.
You just relax. It is nice.
So you're going to take off work on a Wednesday to go see Star Wars on mushrooms.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Does that speak more about your Star Wars fandom or your drug addiction?
More for my hatred of my day job.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Now, Robbie, I don't know. Are you a Star Wars guy?
I'm not a huge Star Wars geek, but I do enjoy them. I've seen all of them.
I haven't seen the three that everybody hates because people said they're not any good. Marcus, are you a Star Wars guy?
I'm a huge Star Wars guy. As a matter of fact, I used to work in the industry as a licensee of Lucasfilm.
A what?
What does that mean?
I used to work for a company that made games, and one of them was based on Star Wars, so I was paid to travel the world and teach people how to play the Star Wars collectible card game.
wait a minute. You would get on a plane and then just drive to someone's house and show them how to play a card game? What? A board game?
Well, let's start first with the fact that I played. I went to the first world championships for this card game and got 22nd place out of 45 guys, I think, if I remember correctly.
Okay, how many people in the world at the time played this game?
Oh,
like 100?
No. Thousands.
Okay, hold on. What's this game called again? I got it.
Star Wars collectible card game. And it was put out by a company called Decipher, and I went to the first world championships, and there I happened to do a little networking, and about a year later they offered me a job, and yeah, they put me on a plane. I would fly somewhere. I would meet with retailers, run tournaments, meet with players in the local area. I ran the volunteer promotion team. So yeah, it was a blast. It was 4 years of the most fun of my life.
Marcus, I've never met you, so I can only base what I think you look like off of your voice. And up until this point, I always pictured a very handsome, physically buff man. But hearing this story, it's added like 30 pounds to that picture.
You got that right.
It's actually 130, but thanks, Tom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what is this, Robbie's girlfriend? Jesus. So
no, I used to play Magic the Gathering, so I'm into CCGs.
Well, Tommy, I'll bring a deck down. We'll play sometime.
Okay, what you got? What do you play? What color do you play? Or no, with the Star Wars, you still play the Star Wars?
I still occasionally. I have one friend here in town that still plays. The game's not made anymore, but I do play Magic, and I play a red-black deck.
Oh, I got a red-black Necromancer deck. It's actually a multicolored deck, but we'll talk later.
No problem.
Well, Robbie, we could just leave now. We have nothing to add. Now, how old were you when you had
Welcome to Nerd Talk on the More Network.
Yeah. How old were you when you had this job, Marcus?
27.
Now, did you have any luck going on the road and picking up chicks doing this?
Oh, yeah.
No, you like seriously?
Seriously. It was
like
a
they were Star Wars chicks or they just happened to be in the town you're at?
No.
What kind of tail?
It was a tailgate party no matter where I went. It was awesome. Whether it was at the conventions, whether it was with other vendors. As a matter of fact, I have a lovely story about a woman who worked for another company who made Magic the Gathering. And she taught me all about asphyxiation and how much fun that could be.
Oh.
Wow. So this is your prime years of getting out there.
Would you walk through the throngs of women and be like, oh, my God, that's Marcus. Mark, you signed my colostomy bag.
There are actually autographed cards out there with that I used to sign because I would go on the road. My title at this company was the emissary, and I had a card that I would hand out, and people would say, can you sign it? And I would do that.
Was that the peak of your fame?
Oh, no, this is the peak of my fame right now.
Yeah, you got that right. Good answer.
Would you ever wear a robe to these things? Did you ever dress like a Jedi?
No, I never went that far. I am an absolute geek. I love going to the conventions. I love the fandom of it all. But no, I do not dress up.
I think you could have leveled up your tail if you had dressed up a bit.
Really, because I think in comparison to the other guys that I was around, I think I got more tail than them because I was the most normal of them.
You're probably right. You're probably being in that world, being the coolest guy in that world. It would translate to doing well with the ladies, I would imagine.
Yeah, because I would take them to a nice restaurant or we would go out and do something fun and I could be seen in public without having to wear a lobster bib.
Yeah, you could turn off the nerdness.
Right.
Like Sizzler?
Yeah. Or Ponderosa. Someplace nice. Old Country Buffet.
Chuck E. Cheese.
We're learning a lot about Marcus. And I thought we'd learn all about Tommy, but apparently just Tommy, you bring out the nerd stories in everyone.
That's fine. Nerd power.
Oh, I like it. Hey, do you want to give Joe Robinson a call? He might be in a break between calling 98 Rock and talking about the scene at Union Jacks. Can we do that, Robbie?
If we can pull him away.
I'm just curious. Is he wearing like a 98 Rock gear? Do they know who he is? Is there like a people surrounding him? Do you think he's getting an autograph tonight?
Hello?
Hey, he's Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the show, man. What's up?
Who's that?
This is Rob and Tommy Sambazo and Marcus Sorter.
Hey,
Rob,
hey, what's up?
Thanks for being
unknown.
Well, of course we're unknown. Hey, are you
calling to fire me?
Yeah, how's it going?
There's about 50 people here. 47 of them are at paint night, and the other three are me, the guy who set up the equipment, and girlfriend Kate.
So paint night.
Not a lot of faith in the Ravens. That's right.
Now, when you called in to Kirk McEwen, did you sell him that, or did you lie and say it's
packed? No, I lied. I don't even think I'm allowed to say nobody's here. I'm not allowed to say that.
Now, when you call in, do you
have to misrepresent?
Do you have a special phone that they use, a Ravens phone?
No. Just
do you go into the office somewhere, or do you just call from the bar?
No, I go by. Well, honestly, I could call for anywhere in here. You'd hear a pin drop. But I do go. They're playing the television. That's loud. So I go back by the bathroom.
Okay. Is the game even on?
Where I am right now.
Is it even on ESPN?
No. Currently, they're watching a rerun of Desperate Housewives.
They're watching Bob Ross paint. Has anybody?
What do you guys talk about?
Well, we found out what a nerd Marcus Serta is. We found out about him getting laid off Star Wars card game back in the day.
You didn't know that? That's pretty hilarious.
No, I didn't know that he got laid back in the day. Didn't know that.
No, you didn't know he was a nerd.
No, I did not to that level. I didn't know
did
he was that accomplished.
Do you guys do the pros and cons? Do you guys do the pros and cons on who you're going to side with in the big Robinson-Recibo feud?
No, we are about to do that, but let me just set it up.
You want me to make my case?
Yeah, let me just set it up for the people. As you know, Chris Restivo and Joe Robinson have broken up, and Joe and I went to see Chris. We went to open mic at Coco Lane, and we saw Chris. Chris refused to shake Joe's hand, and then later that night...
I did extend my hand.
He tried. And then later that night, Chris sent me several long Facebook messages. Only one sentence, but probably 14 paragraphs. No periods. And I'll read some of it later. But he basically said, whose back do I have? Whose side am I on? Joe Robinson or Chris Restivo? So while we have you on with us, Joe, give us your case why I should be on your side.
Well, we've known each other a long time, right?
Therapy.
We've vacationed together.
Yes.
I'd say we probably, we don't have too many friends that are better than we are, right? How many friends do you have that are closer than me? You are in the very small group of my closest friends.
I guess.
In addition, I'm not a racist. I don't call people fags or cowheads.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't use the N-word, and I don't post videos.
Right.
And I don't justify anything that I do based on one person saying it's okay. That's my argument.
Well, you know what? I got to hear the other side of this. So what we're going to do, Joe, we're going to hang up with you, and then we're going to come back, and Chris Restivo is actually going to join us. Do you want to hang on, Joe, or is that going to be too complicated, Robbie?
No. I'll hang up. I got work to do here.
Go, Joe, enjoy paint night Raven style at Union.
Yeah, if I call you back and I can't get through, I'll know what your decision was.
You'll know. You know where it went. So, hey, your fate is in the balance here. Thank you, Joe. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Chris Restivo will give us his side. Rob and Joe Show. Be right back.
Once You Go White, Rob Mayer's newest CD is now available.
It's exciting. I almost had a threesome last week. Clap for me. Almost had a threesome. Give it for me. Thank you. I was one girl away. I was Oh, so two, whatever, but I was in the ballpark.
Recorded live at the Riot Act Comedy Theater in Washington, D.C., Once You Go White features an hour of hilarious, life-changing comedy.
As a kid, the worst Christmas gift ever was always the Radio Shack remote control car. Remember that piece of crap? It's attached to a cord. Oh, wow, I control it for 10 feet. This is awesome. I'm going to go take my Corvette for a walk now. So
get your copy today or download it now on CD Baby, iTunes, and at robmayer.com.
Yeah, that was f***ed up. All right.
Okay. And now back to you, Rob and Tom.
Just to have some of the things that Chris said to me, I hope Joe gets AIDS and malaria. He's making $100 a night, and he acts like he's a goddamn millionaire baller. I hate him just like I hate two-faced people.
Well, hold on. He said AIDS and malaria as if, like, you have AIDS and then malaria will make it worse if you have AIDS.
Yes. He can go screw a goat. He can go screw a goat. That's good. He wants him to fall into a volcano. our listeners are annoying.
Is that from Joe versus the volcano?
It might be.
Is that the Tom Hanks reference?
Yeah, he says that our ratings go up because of him and that he's been loyal and that Joe is dead to him. He'd rather die than shake his hand ever again. And just because of my size, I'm not some whipping boy you can prey on like a bunch of hungry vultures. And anyway, he says to me, whose back do you have, mine or his? So why don't we get Chris Restivo in here and make your case, Chris.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, bud?
It's really great. Thanks for having me. It's been a while since you had me on your show.
Yeah.
You know, now that faggot Joe isn't here.
Oh, easy now. Come on.
I can find him. What? What? I have a gay friend that said I could say it. I have a gay friend.
Come on.
I'm fine.
Not how it works, Chris.
Look, I think that you should have my back, because basically, if you're friends with me, you'll hear all the pro-Donald Trump talk.
That's true.
You can feel better about yourself by looking at me.
Okay.
I'll never try too hard to suck your dick.
Okay.
You know, if it should happen, it happens. You know? Yeah.
Joe is much less homophobic than you. You don't think that hurts you?
Hey, please don't say the word homophobic. It makes my ears sound gay. I can do an impression of any person with a head injury that you think.
Now, Joe and I do murder mystery shows together. We write them. Would you be able to take his role in our company?
Of course I can. I'm the best writer in the world. Look, I wrote this new murder mystery. You want to hear the premise of it?
Sure.
I pushed Joe into a fucking volcano. Fuck that dickhead. And then who did it? Who done it?
That sounds like a winner.
Yes.
Who would you cast in this?
I myself would play the murderer. We could probably get some dirty fucking hobo to be Joe Robinson.
Yeah. So we can't even have Joe in the show.
No, he can't even be in the building. He hurt me. I loved him. I loved him like a father. And he turned on me. Just because I said the N-word, I'm going to edit myself just for you out of the sake of your show because I love you, Rob. You always have my back.
Thank you.
But you got to – this is like West Side Story. You got to choose him or me.
Now, it will be hard for me to choose someone who says racist things like you do, Chris.
Look, come to the dark side. Right. I will teach you to say racist things.
Well, Robbie, it's a tough call. I don't know.
I mean, you'll have to dump Tawanda, of course.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's probably inevitable, let's be honest.
You can't be friends with gay people.
No, I can't. Now, Joe and I have been friends a lot longer. You know, I mean, we've hung out together.
Look, Joe and I have been friends for as long as I can remember. Things get fuzzy about 2 years ago. but he turned his back on me. He will turn his back on you once you realize what a piece of shit he is.
That's true. He does. He's not loyal. He will turn his back on you. That's a very valid point. Now, what are your thoughts on Tommy Cimbazzo? I know you two had a falling out.
Oh, Mr. Cimbazzo up in his ivory fucking tower. You know, he actually told me that he wishes that I would hit my head on a cupboard and seize in a bathtub.
He did say that, actually. Yes.
That is me, only because I think that I should be able to wear blackface.
That's true. You do feel like, are you going to be wearing blackface for Halloween this year?
I'm wearing it right now. I'm getting into character. Yo, 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 what up, homie?
You're just going to wear it the week of Halloween.
I'm going to sing NWA songs. I'm going to just tell everybody what NWA means.
You're going to say it out. Wow. Chris Restivo, thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, how can you give me a ride home?
I'll see what I can do. Thanks, bud.
Thanks.
I had a seizure at jiu-jitsu class.
Wow, Tommy.
I didn't even want to be in the same room with him.
Yeah, sorry.
I know
you guys aren't really getting along. You know what? I haven't decided. I'm going to have to sleep on this. They both bring a lot to the table. Let's be honest. They're both good people.
It is a heavy decision.
It is heavy. You can't just make these rash decisions. You got to think about this a lot. All right. by the way, that was awesome. Chris Restivo back on the show, folks. If only he did a Dan Ninen impression.
I don't want to get any emails.
It's your pressure. Very wise. Now, we had talked last week about Joe's fans that wanted an autograph, and Joe emailed them back, no response. And J.L. Covan also suspects that could be our friend and not real people. But if we get an update on that, we will let you know. Marcus, last week we kind of took a shit on the guy you had on your show, Americas, which wraps up and it plays highlights and talks about all the more broadcast shows, and for not listening to our show, for not even trying. And this week you had a guy on who doesn't listen to our show, but he listened because of our comments, correct?
Absolutely. He's... he was honest. He said, look, in the pecking order, when time runs out, Robin Joe Show falls off. But he had heard the commentary, and so it made him listen. So he listened to last week's show. In preparation for Americast, he was right on board.
Well, you know what? That means being a dick, it actually gained us a listener this week, and you know, we appreciate that. Now, do you think he liked the show, or is he just coming, just trying to appease us, appease you by doing some research?
Let's go with the first thing.
I can't. Well, not to be not to tease too much, but I'm sure he was very upset about what happened at Walking Dead. That's all I'll say.
He did make a commentary concerning.
Don't say anything.
I'm not saying anything.
Bobby will get upset.
Based on your discussion last week about The Walking Dead, we talked about it on my show, and he did have an opinion. He shared it. But knowing how well it worked with one, I wonder if you shouldn't just shit on a group of people. That way you can gain listeners faster.
All right. We hate all women. All right. hey, Robbie, speaking of women, you have a huge trip coming up. I believe you are going to Taiwan with your girlfriend to meet her parents. Is that
correct?
And her parents are joining us. Mr. and Mrs. Robbie's girlfriend. Are you looking forward to meeting your future son-in-law?
Oh, most honorable. I'm not doing a Asian impression. This is a 1930s radio.
Robbie, when do you leave?
I'm flying out Friday evening.
So you will miss two actual shows.
I will be missing the next two Mondays.
So is Eric the actor going to listen, or is he just not even going to bother?
That's a good question. He's in the chat room tonight. Eric, will you not listen to the next 2 weeks since I'm not on the show? Will Gramps even listen?
That's true. Will you listen, Robbie?
I will listen, obviously, when I get back, or if I can get to the app on Wi-Fi from my phone, I'll check it out.
Do they have internet there?
Do they speak English?
English is learned as a young child, but it's not necessarily spoken conversationally a lot.
This is what I would like for you to do. I would like you to go over there, and I would like you to have your lovely girlfriend tell her parents how important this show is to you and how you take pride in it and how you're their producer and you play a huge role. It's something you're very proud of. And that to better get to know you would be a way would be to listen to this show because it sort of speaks to who you are as a person.
Anyway. Yeah, good.
I don't know.
And have them just listen, sit around the dinner table and play the episode, and she can translate if she needs to, and then just get some feedback.
That seems like an hour of smiling and nodding.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out.
Like, does your girlfriend speak English?
Yeah, she speaks
because English. When I met her, I didn't get that impression. Oh, okay, because you were like, "This is my girlfriend," and she just smiled at me. Oh, yeah, okay. And I'm like, "Oh, she doesn't speak English."
She does speak English.
Unfortunately, that would be so okay. Hot. Yeah. Now, but have you spoken to these people?
I've only briefly said hello to them on video chat.
Okay. Are you nervous?
No, not at all.
Well, I guess, you know, if you're meeting Americans, people that speak English, you can tell if you're not doing well. You know, there can be awkwardness and that you... Like when you hung out with your last girlfriend at whatever it was, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you told the story about Afghan men banging each other, the story I told you, and then you broke up. You could sense some awkwardness, but over there, you're not going to know how you're doing, and that's probably eases the pressure.
Yeah, I don't. I won't have to have as much conversation, obviously, because...
How could you?
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you're going to there for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to be eating a lot of Chinese food.
Okay. Well, you could do that here.
Do you think they order out American?
it's a completely different. It's Chinese food. There is nothing like the Chinese food you get here.
You should take a tour like of a fake dog shit factory or something, right? I bet the Spencer's out.
Oh, it's
gotta be, there is huge.
It's got to be awesome. Everything's made there, Robbie. Come on. Are you going to be able to watch? Because, you know, I don't know if you have Slingbox, but there's a way to watch your DVR shows or your TV from home.
Yes, I could do. I could rig it to watch shows on my phone if I really wanted to, but I won't be doing that. I'll just be recording my shows and catching up when I get back.
So when you come back, you're going to have like 40 hours of TV to catch up.
Not quite. I'm not going to record, like, I won't record Kimmel every night, for instance, right. Things like that. So, and I'll fast forward through most of Survivor, but like, well, Walking Dead, of course, you know, I'll watch the whole show, you know, when I get back.
I'm really struggling with what you're going to be doing.
Fargo, of course.
I don't know what, how are you going to, are you with them? Or are you in a hotel?
We are being given a nice luxury apartment It's owned by one of our family members.
Well, that sounds nice. So you get some privacy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, so you'll be able to make sweet love in Taiwan.
Oh, one would only hope.
Are you worried about going into a restaurant, going to the bathroom, coming out and not knowing which one is her and her family? That is a John Muma joke I stole word for word.
Thank you, John.
Yes. No, seriously, what are you going to do? You can't talk. I mean, you can smile and nod for 2 weeks.
I will be able to get by. People, I know enough about the way they speak English to be able to be okay. I know a couple of Chinese words. I'll be able to get along fine.
Okay, but just talking, even if you could speak their language, it's not entertaining for 2 weeks.
No, I will have a good time meeting her family and eating a lot of good food there and looking and seeing. I've never been to Asia before, so it's can't help but be interesting, you know. And I will get one opportunity to walk around by myself, believe it or not.
Oh, I just found a list of tourist traps. Taiwanese tourist traps.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
There's apparently a waterfall. You shouldn't go. A hot springs. The Jiaosai.
Don't go to that one.
Yeah, there's best food in Taiwan. Hot springs. There's a waterfall. The Jiaosai Hotel.
Yeah,
nightlife. I mean, there's nightlife.
Yes,
you're gonna go out, right, and drink and stuff.
There, yeah, they have there. You can get alcohol, and there's really cool what they call night market, where it's like a all this it's like an outdoor festival where they all these little kiosks pop up, and you can go and you can buy all kinds of different food. You can buy like a bicycle. Like it's like really pretty cool.
Should we expect gifts when you get back?
Maybe if you're nice. Okay.
I'm expecting.
Yeah, but it's all made in Taiwan.
It's all made in America.
Honey. It's gonna be chattering teeth. Yeah. One of those birds that drink out of the glass. Fart spray.
Some of that stuff comes from China. And yes, bubble tea, for instance, was invented in Taiwan. So my girlfriends have to have real bubble tea.
What's the time difference there? Is it like 12, 13 hours ahead?
It's a whole day, half a day difference.
Yeah, that's what I thought. How long is your flight? Is it? Are you doing
from door to door? It's going to be 24 hours of travel.
Yeah, done that before. Now, has she introduced boyfriends to her parents before?
That's a good question. I'll have to ask that.
You should ask that. Has she had American boyfriends before?
She has dated white people, I don't think for any extended period of time, and I certainly don't think they met her parents.
Okay. Do you feel any sort of pressure to do well for America? You're representing the entire country.
Yes, I do.
You're not going to – now, what if they want to ask you about, like, politics and stuff, Donald Trump?
I'll be able to get by talking a little bit of politics, enough for that they would – and I know a lot about – believe it or not, I know a lot about Taiwanese politics.
I don't believe that you do. Tell me one thing about Taiwanese politics.
They're getting ready to also have a presidential election there.
Are you going
to
bring that up? Are you going to drop that?
And the president is the same here. It's two terms, and he's going out. The current president's going out, just like our president, and he is a distant relative of my girlfriend, the current president of Taiwan.
Do you know any like Taiwanese pop stars? Like they're like Beyonce.
Actually, I know some of the songs, but I couldn't tell you the names of the pop stars. They do have a lot of pop stars there, actually.
I'm looking at... You should get a t-shirt with one of these people on it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want me to bring you back one of those, Rob?
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, I would crush that.
With one of those Taiwanese girl pops.
They're all so hot.
Yes.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah. Are you going to be listening to any Taiwanese music on the way over?
I have no doubt that I will be exposed to some Taiwanese music.
Okay. Well, I mean, do you have any advice for us? I mean, are we going to be able to do the show without you? Is Marcus going to be able to handle this? What's going to happen, Rob?
It's really a question for Marcus and not for me. I've done as much as I can to prepare him, and so I hope that everything will go smoothly. I don't know that you guys are going to be on live. And Eric just did answer the question. He said he probably wouldn't come and be involved in the chat.
Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. So, I mean, you are the real reason he listens. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We'll take any listener. For any reason. Well, I mean, you leave what day?
Friday.
Okay. So do you have you had that long of a flight? I mean, are you going to be?
I've never traveled this far away.
Are you a reader? Are you going to have a, do you have a Kindle? Do you have an iPad? What are you going
to do? Yeah, how long is the flight?
The flight itself, there's two legs. There's one to Japan and then in Japan to Taiwan. And the flights, I think they split up 8 and 4, it's something like that. But then, you know, there's driving.
It's like 14 hours.
We stay in Japan for a little bit of time before we catch the next flight. So,
what airline?
Can we ask how much this is running you?
The tickets were actually just a little over $600, believe it or not.
Are you paying for both of you?
I am only paying for myself.
And are you paying? But this apartment's free, right?
Our accommodations are also free, and we're going to be treated to dinner a lot. So it's going to be a cheap trip overall.
You might spend less money there than you would here.
No, I'll spend more than I do here.
You'll buy shit. What's the weather like there?
It's a little warmer than it is here right now.
All right. What are you? Are they going to meet you at the airport?
Yes, her mother is going to meet us. Although we're going to take a train, we could just take the train, but she's going to meet us at the airport.
Okay.
Hey, well, I'm looking at a picture of the night market, and I keep seeing they're either dick cookies or dick chocolates.
Oh, they sell a lot of penis.
But I mean, we're talking like an 8-inch. Yeah, it looks like a penis, like with balls and veins.
Okay.
So bring me back one of those. It says $99.
Yeah, Taiwanese.
Do they have a different currency? Taiwanese dollars?
Yeah, 99 Taiwanese dollars is.
I thought they took Chuck E. Cheese tokens for everything.
That's like
tick.
That's like
you bought it with coupons. You won at skee ball.
That's like $3, Tommy.
Okay.
I would like one of those also. I would like a chocolate dick.
Please.
Okay. Tawanda would like one also. Oh, wait. She wasn't. Never mind.
She wishes there were one on you.
Tawanda says, are you going to bring your latest Netflix DVD and a portable DVD player? Since that's the Netflix you still use.
Now.
Please, please, please take something from Redbox and return it to a Redbox in Taiwan.
Now, you better bring a toothbrush and toothpaste because you're getting off this flight, this long day, and then you're meeting them at the airport.
Yes.
You know, people don't look their best after that long day of travel. So, you know, give something, some cologne, some toothpaste, and freshen yourself up a little bit.
I'm on it.
I don't think you are, but well, we look forward to, I guess, so 2 weeks. So you'll miss two shows. So we will next hear back from you
on the 16th.
That's going to be a huge show then. So, Robbie, have a wonderful trip to Taiwan. Good luck meeting the family. If you screw it up, it's probably over for you.
What do you do if she dumps you while you're there?
Oh, that's rough. Yeah.
I'll have a return ticket. That's really all I need. I can find my way.
Yeah, but you'll have no way of knowing how to get back.
That's a lonely trip back, too.
Tommy, I'll have already taken the high speed train at that point. I think I'll be able to figure out how to get back to the airport.
If you end up on the white slave market, I'll buy
it. Just look for the guy holding the split dick.
Yeah.
I got a bucket of tokens left over from my days at Discovery Zone.
Tommy Sambasso, thank you for joining us. How can we follow you?
Thanks for having me, guys. I had a great time.
What's your website and all that information?
Website, Twitter, and Facebook is all the same thing. TommySinbazo.com. That's SINBAZO. And my third season of my radio comedy, Meanwhile, the Skull Base, is coming out soon. That's theskullbase.net.
Check it out. I'll be at the DC Improv this week, this Thursday to Sunday, 6 shows. Tommy Davidson is the headliner, my buddy, fellow murder mystery star Tak Moffat is your MC. Joe will be back with us next week. We'll see if the Ravens curse continues. Have a great trip. Robbie, Marcus, learned a lot about you today. Not sure if that's good or bad. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.